Okay, welcome back everyone to Shmuel Beis. And we are learning Perek Yud Ches tonight of Shmuel Beis. We're going to start Perek Yud Ches, do about half the Perek tonight. And Amir Tzashem will cover the second half of the Perek next week. Very important Perek this week, because as we know from the last several Prakim, we've been learning about the rebellion of Avshalom, David's son, as he rebelled against his father's kingdom. And we're going to learn that that rebellion comes to a very violent end this week. So let's begin. Pasuk Aleph, Vayivko David es ha'am asher ito, Vayosem aleihem sarei alofim v'sarei meos. And David counts the nation, the people that are with him, and he appoints upon these people officers. And these are officers of the hundreds, officers of the thousands, like we see throughout Tanakh, that sometimes we have this with judges, we have this with military officers, that they appoint an officer over the hundreds, and then an officer over the thousands who oversees a whole group of that of those soldiers. Now this, it's interesting, this pasuk, all it tells us is that David counted the men. We don't know exactly what the number was. The pasuk does not tell us what the result of the census was. It just tells us he counts the men, and he appoints these officers. That's all it tells us. The Malbim explains that he's preparing for battle, because if you remember at the end of last perek, you know, he was tipped off to the fact that Avshalom and his men were coming out to get him, and he prepared himself. He fled, but then he's preparing for battle. And that's what he's doing right now, says the Malbim. Number one, he wants to know exactly how many soldiers he has. You prepare for battle, you have to know, you know, who you're going in with, how many soldiers you have, and make sure that they have the proper, you know, the proper things that they need. And number two, to appoint officers over the soldiers to make sure that they have the proper commands from above. I saw there's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael I think he's in the Gush in Har Etzion, by the name of Rav Amnon Bazak. And he mentions here on this pasuk that it seems that, why is David counting his men? It seems that David's army is increasing. And as we saw in the last perek, that we had this turning point where it seemed that Avshalom was building momentum and he was building support. And then all of a sudden we saw that the tide began to turn. We saw that in Perek Yud Zayin. So as the tide begins to turn, more and more people are either just joining David's camp, if they were, let's say, they hadn't pledged allegiance to either camp, but now they were pledging allegiance and joining David's camp, or people may have been defecting now from Avshalom's camp and joining David's camp. And all of a sudden, David sees that his army is growing, his army is swelling. Well, let's see how many people we have here. Vayivko David es ha'am. Let's count them up and see how many people we have. But this again, according to Rav Bazak, this again seems to indicate that the tides have turned, and now David is on the up and up, while Avshalom is he and his men are sinking fast. Pasuk Beis, Vayishlach David es ha'am hashlishis biyad Yoav, vehashlishis biyad Avishai ben Tsruya achi Yoav, vehashlishis biyad Itai Hagiti. David splits his men into three camps. He has a sizable army now. He splits it into three camps. Over one camp, he appoints Yoav as the general. Over the second camp, he appoints Yoav's brother, Avishai ben Tsruya, as the general. And over the third camp, he appoints Itai Hagiti. We've learned about him before as well. And he's the third general over this third camp. Vayomer ha-melech el ha'am, yotso etze gam ani imachem. And David says, I'm coming with you. I'm coming with you out to battle. Now, if you remember, there was a whole discussion with Avimelech. And Achitophel, as he was advising Avshalom, I'm sorry, with Avshalom, and Achitophel advising Avshalom. Avshalom at first, Achitophel did not want him to go out to battle. And Avshalom wanted to go out, or the opposite, now I'm getting confused. But one or the other, there was a whole question about Avshalom going out to battle. Should he go out to battle with David? She did not go out to battle with David. But here David says, I want to go out. Not clear exactly why he wants to go out. We'll see in a minute that his men protest and they don't want him to go. But he says, I want to go. You know, I want to go. And the Malbim says this is the third point, the third step that David is taking to prepare for battle here. Rav Bazak also suggests that maybe David wants to go out to battle because, as we'll see in a moment, David does not want Avshalom killed. Does not want Avshalom killed. We'll see that very clearly in a couple of psukim. And he suggests that maybe David wants to go out because he doesn't trust his men that they're going to treat Avshalom well. And he wants to go out to make sure that Avshalom is treated properly. That's his suggestion. But either way, David wants to go out. You could suggest also David just was the type of general that wanted to lead his men into battle, literally. Right? He didn't want to, you know, that's the type of general that goes in front of the nation, goes in front of the soldiers. He wanted to lead them into battle, you know, to give them more morale and to give them more support, not just some general sitting back in a command center somewhere, but a general actually that's going out on the front lines. That means to the soldiers that, hey, if our leader's going out with us, he believes in the cause, we're behind him, right? It means that they're going to support him much more. So that could be also just why David wanted to go. Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer ha'am lo seitze. So the people say to David, no, please, please don't go out with us. Ki imnos nanus ha'yasimu elenu leif. If we flee, if let's say they end up winning, and we run, they're not going to pay any attention to that. And even if half of us die in battle, they're not going to care. The enemy's not going to care. Why? Because now, like us, and we have to see exactly what this phrase means, and now like us, chamonu, like us, asara alafim, there are 10,000, let's see what this means. The ata, and now tov kiti alanu meir lazor. It's better for you to be in the city and to help us from there. Okay? So what exactly does this mean? Now, it's clear that his men do not want him to go. And at the end, this whole business with the 10,000, so there's different interpretations in the Mefarshim, what exactly they're saying. According to Rashi, according to others, there's one suggestion is that they're saying, "Ki ata chamonu asara alafim," that you are equal to 10,000 of us. Right? You, David HaMelech, David the general, David the king, you're equal to 10,000 of us. That's how some understand it. The Radak says that maybe it means that even if we had 10,000 men, even if we had 10,000 men, the results would be what we're describing. And we'll get to that in a minute. And the Targum Yonasan, interestingly, says that, actually before the Targum Yonasan, the Malbim says that one of the reasons they were protesting, they were saying that listen, if you don't come with us, then the enemy's going to think that you're back in the main camp and you have reinforcements. And they're going to think, you know, you're going to come with 10,000 reinforcements. So even if they're victorious in battle, or they seem to be victorious in battle, it's not going to matter because you're going to come with all these reinforcements. And now at the end of the pasuk, it's better for you to stay in the city and help us. What does that mean? So three pshatim in the mefarshim. Either stay back and daven for us. That's how some understand it. Rashi quotes that, the Malbim quotes that. Stay back and daven for us, I think in the name of the Targum Yonasan. If you stay back and daven, that will be much better off than you leading us into battle. So stay back and daven for us. Targum Yonasan says, your tfilos are equal to 10,000 men. That's how he understands the 10,000 in the pasuk. That's how powerful your tfilos are. Some say it means stay back and strategize. We need a general in the command center. If something goes wrong, we're going to have to figure out what to do. You can't be on the front lines. We need you back so that you can strategize and you can plan the battle correctly. That's number two. Or number three, actually stay back with reserves. So if we need you, we'll call and you'll come and help us. So actually stay back with reserves. Now, so these are the different interpretations of how to understand the pasuk. According to the Malbim, these are basically three reasons why they're protesting. They don't want David to come out with them. Number one, they say the main purpose of the enemy is to kill you. They don't want to beat us. They want to kill you. So even if they're defeating us, that's what the pasuk says, even if we flee, even if they kill half of us, it's not going to matter. They're not going to care. They're going to keep on fighting. They're going to, why? Because their ultimate goal is to kill you. So as long as you're alive, they're going to keep going. They're not going to be satisfied if we flee. They're not going to be satisfied if they kill half of us. They're going to want to kill you. That's number one. Number two, they're going to think you're back in the main camp. If you come, right? If you're not with us, they'll think you're in the main camp and they'll think that you're going to bring another 10,000 men and therefore they're going to get scared. So that's another reason why you should not come. And number three, the third reason why you should not come is that we want you to stay back so that you can daven, so that you can strategize and that you can have these reserves to help us. So these are all reasons that they're giving why they don't want David to come out to battle with them. Okay. Now, so David HaMelech says, interestingly, Pasuk Dalet, Vayomer Aleihem HaMelech, Hashayitav Be'eneichem Esen. He says, okay, if that's what you want, if that's what you think is the best thing, so then that's what I'll do. I'll stay behind. I'll daven. I'll strategize. Maybe I'll prepare reserve forces in case you need it. I'll stay behind. I will not go out to battle with you. Vayamot HaMelech El Yad Hashar. So the king stayed. He stood and he stayed at the gates of the city. What city are we in? If you remember, Machanayim. That's what we discussed in the last perek. We're in Machanayim. Machanayim is a city in Eivra Yarden. We're on the eastern side of the Yarden River right now, so that we're in, you know, modern day Jordan. That's where we are. We're not in Eretz. That's not where David's not in Eretz Israel anymore. He left, crossed the Yarden. He's in Machanayim now. B'chol ha'am yatzu lemeos v'la'alafu, and he stays behind. And the army goes out. His army goes out, the Meos, the Alafim, the hundreds, the thousands, they go out to fight this battle against Avshalom's men. Now, before they go out, before they finally go out to battle, David has one last request. Pasuk Hey, Vayitzav HaMelech Es Yoav Ve'es Avishai Ve'es Itai Le'mor. David turns to his three generals. Remember, he split the camp into three different camps, three groups, and three generals. He speaks to the three of them. And he writes, and he says, I'm sorry, la'at li lanar le'avshalom. Literally, la'at is like slow down, right? But all the mafarshim understand, it means have mercy. Have mercy on Avshalom. When you catch him, when you find him, have mercy on him. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. He's my son. The Malbim says, la'at li, do this for me. He's my son. I don't want him dead. So please have mercy on Avshalom. And says the Radak, even though, based on what he's done, Morid B'Malchus, he's rebelling against thee, it's appropriate to attack him. It's even appropriate to kill him, maybe, right? And to do it with anger. Nevertheless, please don't. Please don't. Be gentle. Be compassionate with him. And wait until I arrive. That's his command. He doesn't want them to kill him. And he doesn't just tell them, but he's the chol ha'am shamu. The whole nation hears this command. B'tzavos ha'melech eskol asarim al devar avshalom. Because after David commands the three generals, he doesn't stop there. You see how passionate he is about this. He goes to all of the officers. Remember, he had officers over the hundreds, over the thousands. He goes to all of the officers and he commands them the same thing. Be gentle with Avshalom. Don't hurt him. Don't touch him. Right? Catch him. You can capture him. But don't hurt him. Do not kill him. And he made sure to tell the three generals, to tell the officers, to the point, v'chol ha'am shamu. Everyone heard. All of the soldiers heard this. Because David was going around telling everyone. So everyone knew that these were David's wishes. Why did David not want him killed? Avshalom rebelled, right? Avshalom, according to some, Avshalom went out to kill David. You know, he rebelled. He's leading a whole army against David. So why did David not want him killed? So the Malbim says that we saw in previous Prakim, and especially according to the way the Malbim learned it, that Avshalom never wanted to kill David. Achitofel suggested to him that he kills David. He didn't want to kill David. And that's why, right, the Malbim said that's why he didn't listen to Achitofel. Okay, so he didn't want to kill David. So David knew, somehow he knew, that Avshalom didn't want to kill him. He rebelled. He wanted me to be the king. He wanted to be the king. He didn't want to kill me. I remember hearing, I think from Rabbi Rosner, that Avshalom really wants David to retire. He wanted to take over. You know, let David retire. He'll move down to Florida. and I'll take over as the king, right? I'll become the next king. He didn't want David dead. David knew that he didn't want him dead. So therefore, David says that when you catch him, don't kill him. He doesn't deserve to die. He didn't want to kill me, number one. Number two, says the Malbim quotes the Ralbag, who says that David, if you remember, knew that this was all a punishment for his sins. Remember, David had sinned. David sinned with Bathsheba. David sinned with other people. Right? David sinned a couple of times. So David recognized that this was all a punishment for his sins. And therefore, he says, if Avshalom doing this is really a punishment for my sins, so then I don't need to kill him. It's not his fault. It's a punishment from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's just a shaliach. Don't shoot the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. Powerful, right? A powerful lesson. This is what, there's a famous Sefer Achinuch that explains, why we have this mitzvah in the Torah of losikom. Losikom velositor, you're not allowed to take revenge. You can't take nekama, right? Why can't you take nekama? Somebody did something wrong to me. Let me get back at him. Why not? Right? He cut me off on the road. I'm going to cut him off. He took my seat in shul. I'll take his seat in shul. Right? Why can't I get back at him? Why lo siko? So says the Sefer Achinuch, if imagine you're cutting something. Right? It's a famous mashal that he brings. Imagine you're cutting something and your hand slips and you slice your finger. It happens all the time. People cut themselves, right? Does that hand that got cut now go in and slice the other finger back? Of course not. Why? Because they're both part of the same body. They're both part of the same guf. Says the Sefer Achinuch, we are all part of the same guf. Every Jew is part of one unit. We're all together in this. We're part of one unit. And if there's a Jew that does something wrong to you, right, that's a punishment from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't shoot the messenger. He's not, it's not from him. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that you needed a little patch, that you needed your seat stolen in shul, that you need someone to cut you off on the road. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that's what you needed. So don't punish the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. Now, again, doesn't mean he's going to get off scot-free. He has bechira, and he chose to do this wrong thing to you. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish him for choosing to do something wrong. But from your perspective, this was coming to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided I needed to get a patch. So I'm not going to take it out on him. Says the Ralbag, that's what David HaMelech is saying. I'm not going to take it out on Avshalom. This was a punishment. I sinned. I deserved it. So I'm not going to take it out. I'm not going to shoot the messenger. Unbelievable. What a madrega. Right? Here you have someone who's literally trying to overthrow your malchus. David doesn't want to touch him. He doesn't want to kill him. Wow. Powerful. Okay. Pasuk Vav. Vayetzei ha'am ha'sadeh likras Yisrael. So those are the instructions. David stays behind, and the army goes out to the field to greet Yisrael. They're very interesting. We're calling it Yisrael. What do you mean Yisrael? They're also Yisrael, right? But it seems that the majority of people were still with Avshalom at this point. Likras Yisrael, right? The majority of Bnei Yisrael, it sounds like we're still with Avshalom. Atahia milchama biya'ar Ephraim. And the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. Now, what's the forest of Ephraim? All the Mefarshim are bothered by this. The forest of Ephraim. We're in Eber HaYarden here, right? We just learned in last week's Parsha. Which Shvatim had a chelek in Eber HaYarden? Reuven, Gad, and half of Menashe. Well, Ephraim? Ephraim's in Eretz Yisrael. So how is the battle happening here in Ya'ar Ephraim? They're not crossing back into Eretz Yisrael. We don't find that they're crossing back, right? So all the Mefarshim explain, very interestingly, that Yehoshua had promised, Yeshua made a takana, that every shevet has to allow people from the other shevet to come and graze their animals in their land. That's what Yehoshua, that was the takana of Yehoshua. He made that takana. Everybody has to allow everybody else to come and graze their animals. So Ephraim lived, his section was immediately west of the Yarden, right next to the Yarden. But there wasn't enough land to graze there. So the people of Ephraim would sometimes cross the Yarden with their animals. If you've ever been to the Yarden, it's not that wide in many places, right? It's a small river. So they used to cross the Yarden, and they used to go near this forest, and they would graze the animals in that land. So that's why it came to be known Ya'ar Ephraim. Now the Malbim points out something fascinating here. Who's on the move? Which army is moving? Which army is advancing? It does not say in this pasuk that the two armies are advancing towards each other. What does it say? Vayetze ha'ama asadeh likras Yisrael. That the people, who's on the move? Who's advancing? David's army. David's army is advancing. Avshalom's army, Avshalom's soldiers, they're staying still. Says the Malbim, they're in the land of Gilad, right next to the Yarden. Machanaim is a little further east. They're right here next to the Yarden. David's army is advancing. Why are Avshalom's people not moving? Why are they not advancing? Says the Malbim, they're scared. Because again, the tides have begun to turn. They're sensing that something is off here. David's on the attack. David's on the up and up. So even Avshalom's army, the people that are still with him, are nervous. They're scared. They stay put. David's army advances, and therefore David's army smells it. They smell blood, and they attack with a vicious force that otherwise they wouldn't have attacked with. Pasuk Zayin, Vayinogfu Sham Am Yisrael Lifnei Avdei David. They're decimated. The people of Yisrael, meaning Avshalom's force, is slaughtered, is decimated before the Avdei David, before the servants of David. Batihisham hamagefa gedola bayomahu esrim aleph. 20,000 men of Avshalom were killed. Avshalom lost 20,000 men in this battle. The Malbim says that the double language here, vayinogfu, and then it says again, vatisham hamagefa. So what's the double language? Vayinogfu and vatisham hamagefa. He says vayinogfu means that right away, they started losing right off the bat. As soon as David's force attacked, already they were down and out. That's vayinogfu. Why? Because they were so scared. And then as the battle continued, vatisham hamagefa gedola. The magefa got even worse and worse and worse as more soldiers lost their lives, 20,000 soldiers. Why such a big loss? Says the Radak, this was an Onesh. They rebelled against David. David was the Mashiach Hashem. He was the king that was appointed by the Ribbono Shel Olam. They rebelled against him. This was a punishment. So as we're seeing, even though from David's perspective, I'm not killing Avshalom because this was Hashgachas Hashem. But from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, these people all had Bechira. And they chose to rebel against David HaMelech. They chose to join Avshalom in this battle. And what made it worse was that this was his son who was rebelling against him. It made it even worse. So this was a punishment, not just a regular punishment for being Morid B'Malchus. But they were Morid B'Malchus, and they joined the son who had defected and was rebelling against his father. Pasuk Ches. Atihi sham hamilchama nafotzes al pnei chol haaretz. And the battle spread across the entire swath of land where they were fighting. Vayerev ha'am, I'm sorry, Vayerev ha'ya'ar le'echol ba'am me'asher ochla ha'cherev bayom ha'hu. And the forest devoured even more people on that day than the sword. So what does that mean? So first let's start with the beginning of the pasuk, that the milchama was nefotzes apnei chol ha'aretz. What does that mean? So the Radak points out that there's a kri and a ksiv here. The kri, the way it's written, is nafotzes. Nafotzes means that the battle spread, right? The battle started in one place and then it spread. That as the people were running, David's soldiers were chasing them and were killing them. So that's the pashup shot in the kri. The ksiv is nafotzos, which I have it here with a yud, but the Radak understands that it's loshon rabin, and it means that all the soldiers scattered. The soldiers scattered. You know, that's what happened. It wasn't just that the battle spread, but the individual soldiers all scattered all over the place because they were so scared. They weren't even together. Everybody ran for their lives. Now, what does this mean? It's interesting that the second part of the pasuk, that the yar, the forest, devoured more people than the sword that day. So, pashup shat, the Radak says, these people ran into the forest. You know, they tripped over trees. They ran into the stones. You know, they banged their heads on things. So he says, pashup shot is that it could just be that in the thicket of the forest, you know, they just got hurt. They got hurt and killed in the forest itself. That's one understanding. Rashi quotes a medrash in the name of the Targum Yonasan that says that as soon as they got into the forest, they were attacked by the wild animals in the forest. So at first the soldiers are killing them. They're running into the forest thinking that, you know, they're running for safety. And meanwhile, they're not. The soldier, the animals of the forest start attacking them in the forest. And they were devoured more by the wild animals in the forest than they were by the soldiers of David's army. Pasuk Tes. Vayikare Avshalom lifnei avdei David. Avshalom happens to ride right in front of the avdei David. Okay, so this was a chance encounter. This was not that they were, you know, searching for him and they found him. He just, all of a sudden, he was riding and he looks up and he's in front of the avdei David. He's in front of David's soldiers. Avshalom rochev ala pered. He's riding a mule. Rav Bazak points out that the mule is the royal animal. That's what the kings used to ride. They used to ride a mule. So this was a symbol of him being the king. Vayavo hapered tachas sovech ha'ela hagedola. The mule takes Avshalom under this big tree. And the Radak explains that the sovech, like the svach, if you remember that that the ayil, right after the akedah, it says nachas basvach, in the thicket. This was a thicket of trees. It wasn't just a big tree, but there were intertwining branches here. Vayechezak rosho va'ela, Avshalom had very long hair, and as the mule is taking him here, he's ducking because the branches are low, and his hair gets caught in the thicket of these intertwined branches. Vayutan bein ha'shamayim uvein ha'aretz. And now he's stuck between heaven and earth, meaning he's dangling. He's caught by his hair, and he's dangling. The donkey keeps going. The mule keeps riding, and Avshalom is stuck. And now he's hanging by his hair. He's hanging by his hair. The Rashi and the Radak both quote Chazal here, different midrashim, that number one, the Radak quotes that his hair was very long because he was a Baal Gaifa. You know, he's like Misal Sobasairo. You know, he grew out his hair and he would blow dry it and brush it. You know, so his hair was very long and he was arrogant over this hair. He thought he was a very good-looking guy and he always was, busy with his hair. And that's why his downfall came through his hair. Because since his arrogance, the hair was a source of arrogance, that's why his downfall came through his hair. Rashi also quotes another Chazal, that when he was stuck, he realized, I'm stuck. I'm going to get killed. I got to get out of here. He took out his sword to cut his hair because he figured if I cut my hair, I'll be free. So he took out his sword to cut his hair. And when he looked down to take out his sword, he saw that there was an opening and Gehenna was open under. And he says, that's how the Medrash understands that Yutan bein ha'shamayim bein ha'aretz, not just literally that he was between heaven and earth, but the Gehenna was open under him. He saw, this is my end. This is my end. It's interesting. Rav Bazak explains that the Pered, which is the source of the royal animal that the kings rode, that it's also very symbolic that the Pered Asher Tachtov Avar, that the mule kept going. Why? That was a symbol that the Melucha was leaving him. He was stuck, and the Melucha was leaving him. It was going back to David HaMelech. Pasuk Yud. Vayar ish echad, a soldier of David is running by, and he sees Avshalom dangling there by his hair. Vayaged leYoav, so he doesn't do anything. He runs back and he tells Yoav, Avshalom's there. He's hanging in the tree. He's stuck. Hinei roisi es Avshalom taloi ba'ela. I see that he's stuck in the tree. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Yoav laish hamagid lo. So Yoav is the general. Turns to the soldier and he says, okay, it's nice that you saw him. Umadu alohi kiso shamarza. Why didn't you kill him? The alai laseis lecha asara chesef lachagora achas. He said, if you killed him, I would have to give you 10 coins and one belt. It's a reward. I would have rewarded you had you killed him. Rav Bazak says, it's not clear in the Mefarshim like this, but Rav Bazak says that it seems here that Yoav had commanded the soldiers to go against David's commands. Again, this is not clear in the Mefarshim. David HaMelech said, don't touch him. Right? If you catch him, don't touch him. But Rav Bazak says, based on this pasuk, that Yoav seems to be saying, I promised everybody that if they kill him, they get rewarded. So he was telling people to go against David HaMelech. Now, again, that's not clear. And it could just be that he was saying that, listen, I didn't issue any command against David, but had you done it, I would have rewarded you. It's very clear that he supported killing, right? He's asking the soldier, why didn't you kill him? I would have rewarded you had you killed him. Now, why does Yoav want him dead? Even though David HaMelech said clearly not to. Yoav wants him dead because he rebelled against the king. Right? He thinks, you know, David's having mercy on his son. It's not appropriate. He's a Morid B'Malchus. He overthrew David as the king. There was a coup, a military coup. He deserves to die. He needs to get killed. So David is saying, don't touch him, don't kill him. Okay, because David is his father. So he's having mercy on him. But it's inappropriate mercy. It's not proper. He needs to die. He needs to die. He deserves to die. So he turns to the soldier. Why didn't you kill him? I would have rewarded you. Yomer ha'ish el Yoav, pasuk yudeis. Velo. It's velu. It's a question how to read this. Korean exiv again. Velu anochi shokel al kapai elef kesef. Lo eshlach yodi el ben hamelech. Even if you gave me 1,000 coins, right? You promised 10 coins as a reward. Even if you gave me 1,000 coins, and even if you put them in my hand right this second, I would not touch the son of the king. Kiva ozneinu tziba hamelech oscha ve'esavi shav yes itai lemor. He says we heard it. David told you, and he told Avishai and Itai, the other two generals, shimru mi vanar be'avshalom. Guard, watch Avshalom. Don't touch him. If you get him, capture him, hold on to him, and wait for me. Don't touch him. Don't hurt him. Don't kill him. We heard him say that to you. So I'm not going to touch him. Says the Malvin, I'm not going to touch him for two reasons. Number one, he's the son of the king, El Ben HaMelech. And number two, because Kiv Ozneinu Tziba HaMelech, he commanded it. There are two independent reasons why I'm not going to touch him. He's the son of the king, and David commanded us. Don't touch him. So why would I violate his commandment? Why would I do that? Even if you gave me 1,000 coins, I wouldn't touch it. That's a good gimel. Oh, asisi benafshi sheker. And even if you tell me, and the Mefarshim understand this, and even if you tell me to cover it up, you know, okay, so David doesn't want it. So kill him and just shash still. Don't say anything. Hide it. Pretend like you didn't do anything. You know, just kill him and just walk away. Even if you want me to do that, that would be b'nafshi sheker. That would be a lie. I can't do that. Not just that, but he's going to find out. The king finds out about everything. And what's going to happen? I'm going to kill him. I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm not going to say anything. The king's, of course, going to find out. Someone's going to see it. The king's going to find out that I did it. And then what? You're not going to defend me. You're going to stand there. You're not going to side with me if the king's upset. So why would I do this? Why would I do this? It doesn't make any sense. I would be lying. I would be sinning. And you're not going to defend me. Pasuk Yudalet. Vayomer Yoav. Bo chein ochilo lefanech. He says, okay, I'm not going to say anything else to you. I'm not going to ask you anything else. I'm just going to do this myself. Vayikach shlosha shevatim v'chapo. He takes 3 sticks in his palm, and the Mefarshim explain here, the Radak especially says, these were not just 3 sticks. These were 3 sticks with points at the end. These were 3 spears. They were just small spears, like mini spears. But he took 3 spears in his hand, and he stabs Avshalom. Now, literally, it says in the heart, although we'll see, you know, that maybe not, but he stabs him in the heart. Odenu chai belev ha'elah. And the pasuk seems like it says that the spears go through Avshalom into the tree. Remember when Shaul wanted to kill David a couple times, he lunged at him. And the pasuk says he wanted to get him and stab him, and the sword would go through David into the wall. So it didn't happen. David was able to escape. But here Yoav takes these 3 spears. And he stabs Avshalom through the heart, right into the tree, into the heart of the tree, so the inside of the tree. It does it hard. But he's still alive. Pasuk says, Odenu chai. He's mortally wounded, but he's still alive.
He's still suspended by his hair on the tree?
Yeah, he's just, exactly. He's suspended by his hair, and Yoav just comes and stabs him. And now he's got these spears through his heart into the tree. Now, The Radak quotes Chazal that it's not a coincidence, of course, that they were 3. Why 3? Just take 1 spear. What does he need 3 spears for? So he says, because he stole the hearts of 3 people. Number 1, his father. Number two, Beis Din. Number three, Bnei Yisrael. He violated these three people. David HaMelech, he rebelled against him. Bnei Yisrael, he misled them because he got all these soldiers and people to support him when it was wrong. And Beis Din, right? The Sanhedrin, he was, you know, convinced them that he was going to be the king. So that's why he was meeting his demise with these three spears. Now, he wanted to start the job, but according to, and it says the Malbim, he did this so that the man would, you know, people would realize everybody was going to be too scared to touch him. Yoav realizes everybody's going to be too scared. Let me start it. Because if I start it, if I wound him, so then it's going to be on me. I'm willing to take the heat. Right? These soldiers are not going to do anything, you know, because they're scared. David said not to. They're scared. He needs to die. I'll take the heat. Right? I'll take the blame. So let me get started and I'm going to wound him. But after he wounds him, he doesn't want to kill him 100%. Because again, maybe he's worried about, you know, that David didn't really want it. So he leaves him. He doesn't finish the job. Pasuk Tesvav, once the soldiers see Yoav attack Avshalom, by Asovu Asara Ne'arim, 10 young men, 10 young soldiers surround Avshalom. Nosei Klei Yoav, these were the Nosei Kalim, these were the armsmen of Yoav. They see their master, they see what he did. So they also, they take their swords out by Yakuas Avshalom by Yimisu. So they all attack Avshalom and they kill Avshalom once and for all. At that point, Avshalom has now been killed by Yiska Yoav Bashofar. Yoav blows the shofar by Yoshov Ha'am Yerdof Acharei Yisrael. When you hear the shofar in battle, that's the sound that the battle is over. Avshalom's dead. There's no need to continue fighting. There's no need for more bloodshed. No other Jews have to die. Avshalom's dead. Yoav blows the shofar. And I saw Rav Bazak also suggest that maybe this is why Yoav kills Avshalom, because this was a way of stopping the bloodshed. 20,000 Jews already lost their lives. Had Avshalom not died, the fighting would still continue. More Jews would have lost their lives. How many thousands of more soldiers would have been killed? Yoav didn't want more bloodshed. He killed Avshalom. Once Avshalom's dead, that's it. The party's over. No need to kill any more Jews. He blows the shofar. Everybody puts down their arms. Ki chasach Yoav es ha'av. I'm sorry, by Yoshev ha'merdof achrei Yisrael. So the nation, meaning David's people, stop chasing the fleeing soldiers. Ki chasach Yoav es ha'merdof. Yoav had mercy. Ki chasach. He had mercy. He had rachmanis on them. He was the one who spared the rest of the people. Pasuk Yitzayin, by Yichu es Avshalom, by Ashlichu oso vayar. They take Avshalom's body, they cut him down from the tree, and they throw him into the forest. El hapachas hagadol, there was a large pit. They threw him into this large pit. Vayatzivu alav gal avanim gadol me'od. And they throw stones over Avshalom's body to bury him. You know, again, maybe not such a respectful burial because he was a buried but mouthless, but never burial nevertheless. They piled the stones on top of him. Gadol me'od. The stones fill up the pit. And then some, says the Radak. B'chol Yisrael nosu ish le'ohalo. And here also the Ziksiv in a Kree. The Ziksiv is in the singular. Chazal said that the people were so embarrassed. The people who were on Avshalom's camp, they were so embarrassed that Avshalom's dead. Oh my gosh, we followed the wrong guy. Right? We joined forces with Avshalom. He was the wrong one. Now they're mortified. They're scared probably, and they're also mortified. Each person ran le'ohalo. They ran home. They didn't run to the barracks. They didn't run back to the camp. Each one ran home. They were done. They said, "Oy vey, look what we did." They were embarrassed. They didn't band together. Each one fled to his tent. That's how the Radak understands the ksiv of Ohalo. Pashup shal Ohalov, that they went to their tents, could be the camp. But he says, no, the Ohalo, they were so embarrassed that they went back. This is the end of the rebellion. Avshalom dies. Avshalom is buried. Now we have to find out next week, Mirtz Hashem, what's David's reaction. David didn't want this to end this way. He wanted it to end, but he didn't want it to end this way. So how is he going to react now that Avshalom dies? Mirtz Hashem will pick up next week. Thank you all for joining.